white Christmas, just like the ones I used to know, where the treetops glisten and children listen to hear sleigh bells in the snow.
Boy, it's hard to interrupt a bingle, isn't it?
Of a
pride of Spokane, Washington, the great Bing Crosby. And I believe that Mariah Carey just surpassed this as the most requested, most played Christmas song of all time. White Christmas was replaced by All I Want for Christmas Is You.
Does that make you sad at all?
Yes, it does. And again, no disrespect to Mariah Carey. That's a fabulous rendition of a great tune. But Bing is this. That's Bing. It's White Christmas. You know, all the ships at sea. Oh, and that's been around for generations, literally for generations. Did you catch Mariah at the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, by the way?
I did not.
Yeah, she had a little tiara on because she was going to be the Queen of Christmas. You know, she actually went to court and tried to copyright the name, trademark the name Queen of Christmas. Failed in court. And I felt kind of, you know, I don't know, a little Schadenfreude-esque that she didn't, you know, win Queen of Christmas. But then I felt bad afterward. Who am I to say? Like, you know, if she wants to call herself the Queen of Christmas, let her. But let's not prohibit anybody else from saying that, too, in a court of law. Good, Mariah.
I'm always suspect of self-appointed titles. That's like
true.
Me appointing myself the a radio god.
Yeah. True.
True, but I shouldn't say it.
Hey, can you bring up the Charlie Brown Christmas theme? Because the story, it's not, by the way, a Charlie Brown Christmas will not be aired on network television this year for the first time since 1965, 57-year run. I believe it's available on Apple TV or Apple Plus or somewhere, Matt. Is that right? It's somewhere out there. That wasn't it. I appreciate you, buddy. I keep throwing you curveballs. I'm mostly spitters. Don't touch them if they're messy. Oh, yeah. So a Charlie Brown Christmas, one of these staples of holiday movies in that era of, you know, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, Frosty the Snowman, those Christmas memories we all have as kids, the little drummer boy. Back when a Christmas special was, you know, 23 minutes, the Grinch, How the Grinch Stole Christmas with Boris Karloff, you know, just phenomenal work. And the Charlie Brown Christmas. And this one, back when it was made in 1965, excuse me, this was made, CBS made the production, and they got a call from Coca-Cola. Said, we want to make a Christmas show. Has Mr. Schultz ever considered doing a Charlie Brown Christmas show? And so it wasn't that Charles Schultz wanted to write a Christmas story. It's that the folks at CBS got a call from their sponsor, Coca-Cola, and said, we want to literally create content so we can promote Coca-Cola. So within 3 months, Charles Schultz, because the Peanuts were one of the most popular cartoon strips in America, in hundreds and hundreds of newspapers coast to coast. And they had 3 months to make this 30-minute animated TV special, to write the music, to create 30,000 animation cells in order to get on TV so they could put Coca-Cola commercials in it. Almost didn't happen. And it became a holiday favorite. the music there is iconic. I mean, it's jazz. The Christmas time is here, you know. Vince Guaraldi, is that right? I believe the Vince Guaraldi the quartet.
The Vince Guaraldi trio.
Trio, yeah. Nice.
Interesting fact that I found in that story was the agency that was representing Coca-Cola and suggested this was McCann Erickson, which if you're a Mad Men fan, reminds you of the show because that was a competing agency to Sterling Cooper Draper Price.
Nice. It's such a brilliant, well done story, you know. Every character in the story is so well developed. Lucy's all about ego.
Real estate. Now, savvy investment advice, though. I'll give her that.
Oh, yeah. Well, Peanuts were a phenomenal piece of work. By the way, Charles Schulz, you know, the character Franklin, the African-American friend in Peanuts, when Charles Schulz, you know, when America was going through its racial strife, Charles Schulz wanted to show kids across the country that it's okay to have a black friend. And his syndicator threatened to pull the comic from every paper in the country. And Schulz said, go right ahead. Then I'll just publish books. But my characters are going to be inclusive and open-minded and desegregated. I mean, it's amazing how we break down barriers in this country.
I also thought it was so awesome that he used the soundtrack that he did. Normally with a cartoon, you're not necessarily thinking jazz, but that was really good jazz on that soundtrack.
It's great.
As a music fan, I loved that.
That music, it stands up. It's funny, too, because so does the Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, Burl Ives. Those tunes, you know, Holly Jolly Christmas, Silver and Gold, Rudolph Reynolds, those are great tunes at Rankin and Bass, right? Those tunes stand up. But you're right, the Charlie Brown Christmas, that jazz is, that's world-class jazz. Throw a little more under it if you want. I wouldn't mind hearing, especially, you know, we're going to tell the story of this. And it was a flop when it was made. It wasn't well-received. Like most of our Christmas staples, it didn't hit it out of the park from year one, but kids came back every year, and those were the days when it played once a year, and if you missed it, you missed it.
Now it's streaming year round on Apple TV.
As well it should be, and you can find it many places, I'm sure. You know, when the story broke that it wouldn't be on network TV this year, I'm thinking, well, does that really end the tradition? Because I mean, who nowadays schedules? I know that they do still show the Christmas classics and they promote them. They'll be on this Friday night at 8 o'clock. It's blah blah blah, whatever, Rudolph Reindeer's Reindeer, Frosty the Snowman, whatever, Santa Claus is coming to town, whatever, Year Without a Santa Claus, whatever it is, the Charlie Brown Christmas. And I'm thinking, well, who bothers to make an appointment TV watching anymore? And Matt, you pointed out to me what an arrogant point of view that is. Some folks can't afford streaming services, and they still have to get their TV as it's made available to them.
Yeah, especially a lot of older, more rural people don't always, you know, want to pay for satellite or have great reliable streaming internet for streaming.
Right.
So, you know, some people still rely on the old antenna.
And, you know, and not to get political, but thank goodness for this infrastructure bill that got passed, because it's going to bring, you know, internet to the rural American. You know, places where the internet has become essential to getting an education, having access to emergency services. It's going to happen because we got some infrastructure investment in this country. But more importantly, you can pick up Charlie Brown Christmas still on Apple TV. I think I have Apple TV. I think it's part of my, you know, phone package, I think. I don't even know how many streaming services I have. Do you?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course you do.
Four?
Yeah. Is it cheaper than cable, though, right? To pick what you want?
Well,
that a la carte
cable's
thing?
Cable's included with my rentals, so I don't actually have to pay for cable.
You live in a palace.
But I often don't watch it either, so it's kind of a...
I've said before, we have some first world problems in my home, and I make sure that we give the wife what they need, entertainment-wise. You know, the wife and the children.
Speaking of entertainment, you know what is, I bet is really popular around the holidays that is probably more popular in states where there's legal marijuana?
What?
That fireplace log show.
Oh, my God. I love that.
You could sit and watch that for hours, particularly under certain circumstances.
You know, I put it on as opposed to building a fire. It's funny, we have gas fireplaces in our home. We have one upstairs and one downstairs. They're really nice. It's a convenient thing. But we put a flat screen TV above the fireplace. And I was told that I really shouldn't overuse the fireplace because the heat can affect the TV's longevity. Now, of course, you know, when you watch TV, we don't put a fire on very often, at least not up where the TV's above it. But I will use that TV to put a fake fireplace log loop up there, especially on Christmas morning. It's nice. Same effect. It's wonderful. You don't have to be stoned. Still looks nice. But I can see your point about it having a...
extra appeal. Gives literal meaning to burning one.
What's your favorite Christmas movie of all time?
Oh, gotta be It's a Wonderful Life.
Thank you.
Gotta be. There's no contest there for me.
Now, is it urban legend how that became popular? Or is it fact? I've often told people this, but these days I'm not sure of anything anymore. I've heard that the movie It's a Wonderful Life, which bombed at the box office, by the way, and did you know, that's by the way, my personal favorite, It's a Wonderful Life. You've seen me often, I wear a Bailey Brothers Building and Loan t-shirt. I wear it year round. People are like, where's that at? I'm like, it's in Bedford. Where's Bedford Falls? Where's that? What are you, new? Welcome to the country. Is it lore or is it fact that It's a Wonderful Life, which bombed at the box office, let their, copyright lag, and it became public domain.
Oh, no, I just found an entire BBC feature on the fact that it was initially unsuccessful at the box office, the copyright lapsed, and it fell into public domain, which allowed it to be broadcast without paying licensing or royalties.
So that's true. That is true. It's not just urban. Okay, good, because I've been telling people that for years. And again, I just became unsure if it was accurate because this disinformation is everywhere. So it became free to show. And so hundreds of TV stations played it for free, and they showed it to people, and it became this classic piece of American film. And the story itself is such a classic tale of appreciating what you have and the things that are really important in your life. Did you know that Jimmy Stewart was a pilot in World War II and came home with, was this part of the BBC special you saw? Did they cover this part? That Jimmy Stewart had PTSD from flying bombing missions in World War II, and that some of the scenes in It's a Wonderful Life, where George Bailey's kind of losing his grip, you know, and snapping and contemplating suicide, a lot of people speculate after the fact that that was Jimmy Stewart living out his PTSD after World War II. That was the first film he made after World War II when he came back. And that the acting he does in that movie is really him just experiencing his PTSD on camera.
I was writing in my head a Hey Joe parody called Hey George.
My wife is a Christmas story. That's her movie. And for me, It's a Wonderful Life is the movie for me. Someone texted in that said, a Muppet Christmas Carol. I mentioned yesterday that I saw that FX Christmas Carol that BBC specially did. I think it was in 2018 it came out. It was originally a three-night, three-part miniseries, and FX, I think, showed all three episodes back to back to back. There was 2 nights ago I watched it, Sunday night I watched it. Brilliant tale of a Christmas Carol from a new perspective I'd never seen before. Same exact story, but with different supporting characters, more fleshed out and more incremental to the story, instrumental to the stories being told. My daughter loves this movie called Arthur Christmas. You ever seen that one? From the folks who brought you, I think, Aardvark, the Wallace and Gromit folks, right? I think it is. And I believe it's James McAvoy, the British actor, who was...
Who is in the British version of Shameless, too.
Yes. It's Santa Claus has two sons. And Santa Claus is getting ready to retire. And his older son is running the family business in a modernized, mechanized, computer-driven, how you get the toys delivered in one night way. And his younger son, who is just the embodiment of the spirit of Christmas, is a bit of a goof, but ends up saving Christmas. It's called Arthur Christmas, British. Fantastic story. Modern Christmas movie. Animated modern Christmas movie. Great piece of work. I just watched Miracle on 34th Street the other night because I was in a terrible mood, had just a crud day, bunch of stuff going wrong, little stupid things that wreck your day. And I put on Natalie Wood, Maureen O'Hara, 19-whatever, Miracle on 34th, the old school Miracle on 34th Street. Cheered my ass right up. That's what the season's about, man. Caring for each other. It's Cairo Nights. I'm Spike O'Neill along with Matt Butler. Tis the season. Coming up, we'll tell you a little bit more about the holiday magic. It's holiday magic week here at Cairo and the auction that's going on. You can give at any time. Don't have to be an auction item. Make a donation. We're trying to help Treehouse do the great work they do for foster kids in Washington. We'll be right back after these.
They said there'll be snow at Christmas. They said there'll be peace on earth. But instead it just kept on raining. A veil of tears for the virgin birth. I remember one Christmas morning, a winter's light and a distant choir. And the peal of a bell and that Christmas tree smell. Eyes full of tinsel and fire. They sold me a dream of Christmas.
Oh.
They sold me a silent night.
Welcome back to Cairo Nights.
They told me a fairy story, till I believed in the Israelite. And I believed in
this is, of course, Greg Lake. I believe in Father Christmas. A lot of people requested this one as we kind of bumper around with Christmas music this year. I appreciate, Matt, all you're doing. Really, man, you really do a great job. That's my problem with great music is I don't want to stop it.
Well, like
I don't want to talk
said,
over
maybe
it.
Maybe I should start playing worse music.
Play garbage, yeah. No.
Although I have pretty broad taste. I could probably find something fairly distasteful if you really wanted me to do it.
You know what? I don't know that there's... We've talked about this a little bit. I don't think there's any Christmas music that I don't love.
Well, you know? You're not too hot on the Taylor Swift cover of Last Christmas.
But you corrected my judgment on that one. Pointing out that it's probably Taylor Swift's favorite Christmas song, and she lovingly made her version as a tribute to the late, great George Michael and Wham, and not at the insistence of her record label, who said, you need to make a Christmas record. I hope, anyway. Yep, a texter agrees, beautiful Christmas song. And by the way, U2 did a version of that a couple years ago which is if I didn't love the original Greg Lake version so much, that with U2's might make my daughter and I's, you know, Christmas playlist. Oh yeah.
Christmas, they said there'd be peace on earth, but instead it just keeps on raining, veil of tears for the virgin birth. I remember on Christmas morning, a winter's light and a distant choir, the peal of a bell, a Christmas tree smell, eyes full of tinsel.
Out of curiosity, have you read Bono's memoir yet?
I haven't yet.
I have not either.
I've seen.
I saw it was out.
Yeah, it's called Surrender. I was a little bummed because one of my social media feeds offered an autographed copy of it for sale, and by the time it came to me, it was already gone. The item is sold out, and I keep seeing a social media feeds of his. He's done a book tour. I think mostly in New York and L.A. Where he goes and reads from his memoir, Surrender, with Bono of U2. I'd love to see that. I know exactly where his house is. I could show you on Google Earth. Yeah. We were in Dublin for a St. Patrick's Day promotion, part of our radio experiences here in Seattle, the Bob Rivers Show. We got to go as guests of Jameson Irish Whiskey to Dublin on St. Pat's and broadcast live from the old Jameson Distillery in Dublin on St. Patrick's Day. And when you go and you travel as a guest of a liquor company, especially Jameson in Ireland, you go top shelf. You really get treated well. And they put us up at the hotel that Bono and Edge own in Dublin, right on the River Liffey, the Clarence. It's an old, old building, it's 100 and some years old, and they've refurbished this hotel right on the river in downtown Dublin. The front of the building faces the river, and the back of the building is at Temple Bar, which is their Pioneer Square. That's Temple Bar is the bar district in Dublin, south of the river, where the wild folks were. And we're taking a bus tour around the city. One of the things when Jameson would take us over to Dublin, we got to go six years in a row. Jameson would fly you in, do a day touring the countryside, Dublin, go see the distillery, whatever it might be. And then we would broadcast from the distillery on St. Patrick's Day and then fly back the next day. Did that the first year, 3 days total, in and out, hit and run. The next year, I was like, told my boss and I told the folks at Jameson, I want to go for the whole week. I'll pay all my own freight. When everything else, just fly me in a couple days early, fly me back a couple days late. Won't cost you an extra penny. Just change my air flights. So we did that for the next 5 years. One year we're touring the countryside. We go to the little town of Dalkey, which is just south of Dublin on the coast, where both Bono and Edge have their homes. And Bono lives in a very old estate kind of home, right down the street from the castle that Enya refurbished for her home. And we're going by, and the bus driver, who's a local guy, tour bus driver, got a bus full of disc jockeys that are in town for the Jameson Global broadcast. He says, I'll come up here on your left. Here's a very famous Bono. He lives here with his wife and children and blah, 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 blah. And as we're driving up, it's behind like an old stone wall. The house is a couple hundred years old, big old mansion on the side of the hill looking over the ocean. And as we're driving up to the gates start to open. And a brown Mercedes is pulling out of the driveway with Bono at the wheel. And I'm like, stop the bus! And the guy's like, I'm like having a cow. There's a bunch of high school girls sitting on the curb across the street from the gate to Bono's home. And the gate to Bono's home in Dublin has a metal gates with lyric sheets made of metal. I guess in Bono's own handwriting that have been recreated in bronze or brass, whatever they are, I couldn't tell. But But they're like, that's what decorates the gates of Bono's home. And, you know, we went to the little Dalkey pub in the little town of Dalkey, little seaside town. That's where he frequents. That's where he hangs out and drinks when he, you know, when he does this, when he's home. And the bus driver's like, oh, no, we don't. We respect our stars in Dublin. We're not going to bother. We're going to give him his privacy. And I'm like having a cow. I'm trying to eat my way through the window of the bus so I can get out and say hello to Bono, who you two freak. So the next day we rented a car and I drove back and sat on the sidewalk across from his house hoping the gates would open, and they never did. But I know exactly where his house is in Dublin. I could show you where it is. But I haven't read his memoir yet, Matt, to your point. I too need to learn about respecting people's privacy, especially the stars. Same thing happened when I met Springsteen. They had to literally separate him from me. Security had to get me to stop hugging Bruce Springsteen. And that was his book, his Born to Run memoir.
Yeah.
That's me. I fanboy. I am literally Chris Farley's character on Saturday Night Live when I meet my heroes. You know, I'm the, remember that time when you did that? So cool. You know, I totally fanboy out, which is not hard to imagine. I think if you've heard the show at all and you know anything about me over the years of doing what I do, I really just can't keep myself straight.
Did you have that composure issue when you met Dr. Oz?
You know, no, I didn't. I wasn't. Dr. Oz came to our station twice over the course of his career as a huckster, I guess, and a TV star, you know, and a proponent of books and elixirs and whatever else he was selling at the time. He came to the station. There's a picture floating around the internet of me and Bob Rivers and Downtown Joe hugging Dr. Oz outside the studio at KZOK. Yeah, it's one of the reasons I'll never be able to get elected right there is that picture of me and Dr. Oz. That's why
at least
I'll never,
not in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, or anywhere, I think. Yeah. Now, he was, you know, Mehmet Oz, I guess a decent enough guy, you know, saw an easier path to better money than the medical career that he had. And, you know, he was a doctor. It's not no small thing.
And he had some fairly moderate positions in his past. I don't think his entire heart was really in the run.
For Senate?
Yeah.
No, I don't think it is. No,
I care about it as deeply as some like to think.
I would agree with that. You know, and it's we talked about this in the past too. I think it's a shame that people see elected office, and rightfully so, I mean, at least accurately so, as the path to big time riches. You know, somebody pointed out on the text line earlier tonight about insider trading.
I would counter that it's not a big conspiracy theory, though, because when you're well off or when you've achieved something great in your life, whether it's in business, the private sector, whether you're elected government, you naturally, by networking, are going to have access to the best financial advisors there are. They give you sound advice. Money makes money. It's not really that complicated.
We all would like to have a taste. You know, at least have our moment at the trough.
Hey, Spike O'Neill for governor, man. Get on.
You know, all the crap that's been not a deal breaker anymore. I always thought I'd love to be in politics. I really would. I'd love to be in politics. But I had such a checkered history of bad decisions, I thought there's no way. Boy, they've just lowered the bar so far.
We should do that one night as a topic. Who would you have to play your inauguration?
Great question. Was it Three Doors Down? No, sorry. Sorry.
Kid Rock, Ted Nugent. I got dibs on him, man.
I could not resist. It's Kyra Knights. I'm Spike O'Neill with Matt Butler. We'll be right back after these and read your texts. Close we can, at least.
I'm a fool to do your dirty work. Oh, yeah.
That's my campaign song. Nice. Text her. Thank you. I want to remind everybody that Holiday Magic's auction is going live right now. You're able to bid on any one of a number of great packages. From a sit-in on your favorite Cairo show, whether it's Gene Ursula, John Curley, Sherry Elliker, the Cairo Morning News with Dave Ross, Colleen O'Brien, Dory Monson, The Fishing Trip with Dory and Tom Nelson. 4 hours out on a fishing boat where you're guaranteed to catch something.
And speaking of Seattle's morning news, check out that great video that Colleen O'Brien has up on My Northwest showing you what Treehouse is all about. It's really moving. I encourage you to hit MyNorthwest.com and look at that.
It is. And if you can't, you know, some of the auction items are really bringing up some nice numbers here for Treehouse. We appreciate that. So if it's a little out of your price range, we understand. But you can make just a one-time donation or an annual donation to Treehouse. It's an amazing, worthwhile cause. Colleen's video on MyNorthwest.com will show you exactly what, just one of the many things they do to help foster kids in the state of Washington. Fantastic. Absolutely fantastic people doing fantastic work. And we do, anything we do is just a small, small bit to help them do the work that they do. It's great work. Some of you guys texting tonight, we talked about how expensive Christmas trees are. Oof. A texter pointed out that there is a hamburger stand in Bremerton called Crazy Eric's. They got five and a half, 6 foot noble firs and Fraser firs, $21. And no, they're not going to. They may not be this texture. They may not be the nicest trees you ever saw, but they're worth at least double what these folks are charging for them. Good job. Appreciate you letting us know. Somebody else texted in. Lisa pointed out Goodwill. They got a ton of artificial trees at Goodwill. If it's beyond, you know, there's always a way to make Christmas happen. Always. And it's not about the number of gifts. It's not about the size of the tree or even if you have a tree. It's about reaching out and letting people know how much they mean to you and sharing what's really important this season. Watch It's a Wonderful Life. Wait for the end. It's all revealed. It's great. A texter, please tell me more about the pizza party. The Cairo Knights auction item at the Holiday Magic Auction is a pizza party sponsored by Zeke's Pizza. A couple of their great pies in here, some libations, a little salad. Sit in with the show. Talk to us as much as you want. Ask us questions. Pop on the air. Say hi to your high school sweetheart. Never thought you'd amount to anything. Well, you're on the radio now. Come on in. Or, as Matt pointed out, any one of these packages, these auction items available, make a great gift. And since Treehouse is a nonprofit, there's a tax deduction in your donation. You know, great way to help a very worthwhile cause instead of giving the money to the government. That's got to make a lot of you happy. Text wanted to know, can a Trump supporter sit in on Cairo Nights? Absolutely. I've got many at my Thanksgiving table every year. We appreciate the different points of view around here. And most every one of you, we've got a real good thing going here. We're civil. We can disagree with respect. It's awesome.
And we can all agree on the great music.
Absolutely. Hey, Matt says, if you're the winning bidder at the Cairo Knights package, you may get to pick a song.
Maybe.
We're not letting you have your thrash metal punk band on. We're not going to do that. We got to keep our FCC license. A texter says, I finally got my Red Ryder BB gun last year. Thought about my wife's favorite movie is The Christmas Story. It's for sale. The Red Ryder BB gun. The range model with a compass and the thing that tells time. Just like the movie. I got my wife one a couple 3 years ago. Best Christmas present I ever got her. Better than jewelry. Better than trips. Better than designer handbags. That BB gun. My wife loves it. We appreciate you guys being part of the show tonight. We'll be back tomorrow night. It's Cairo Nights. And you can go to MyNorthwest.com, look at the Holiday Magic Auction, or make a donation anytime. It's going until Friday at 11:59 p.m. We'll be back tomorrow. See you guys then.